It's page 864 in your pew Bible. John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And I know you're looking up here thinking something's changed, and it's not me. We have a new pulpit. Jeff Hunt built this and delivered it this week. So, Jeff, thank you so much. We are... The other one was bigger and had glass, and he said he was afraid I might pound it one time and break through. So, in fact, I guess I must be a violent preacher. This one is screwed into the altar rail, so it's not going anywhere. John chapter 4, page 864, and we're reading verses 1 through 8. And we read aloud, and we read together, and we read with our outside voices, so everybody on Facebook who maybe isn't near a Bible can hear it. So let's read God's Word together. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. Thanks so much. You can be seated. You know, it is very rare as you read through the Gospels to hear Jesus asking for something, particularly for himself. It is usually Jesus offering to give someone rather than Jesus asking someone for something. For example, in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Luke 10, verse 19, "See, I have given you power, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." John 10:28, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of the hand of the Father." But John provides a glimpse, a picture of Jesus in this fourth chapter that is really different than anything we see of Jesus. It is Jesus tired from a journey. It is Jesus sitting down by a well to rest. And then, as we saw today, it is Jesus making a request, wanting to receive rather than give. And so as I've been reading this passage, I was thinking this week, what does Jesus want from you? What does Jesus want from me? And as I read the scripture, there are really five general, and I use that word in not in a bad way, but there are five requests that he makes of all of us as a group, collectively. And the first one is this: he wants us to believe and accept him. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "To all who received him, he gave, and all who received and believed on his name, he gave power to them that they might become children of God." So Jesus wants all of us to believe him and to receive him, to believe that he is the Son of God, to receive him as the Son of God. He wants us to make a confession of faith of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to believe that in doing so, he washes away our sins, and that in doing so, we also are receiving him as Savior and Lord. The second thing that Jesus or decision that he wants us to make is to love God. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Jesus wants us to love God. He came to show us what God the Father, or who God the Father is. He was God in the flesh, God incarnate. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And as he walked and healed and did and loved upon people, it was God the Father healing and walking and loving upon people. Jesus came to be a snapshot, to be a photo, to be a model, so we could look at Jesus and say, this is who the Father is like. And so in doing so, in showing us that God loves us with heart, soul, mind, and strength, loves us in that way, he wants us to reciprocate that love and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. The third choice that God wants us to make is to love others. John 15:12, Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." So when we ask, what is the love for my neighbor supposed to look like? Well, Jesus said, look at the way I love you and love others in return. If I love you unconditionally, if I love you without you meriting it, if I love you without you being worthy of it, if I love you without you doing anything to earn it, love other people the way I love you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and in doing so, you love your neighbor as Jesus has modeled before us. The fourth choice that God wants us to make is to seek his kingdom. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you." God wants us to not only love God, God wants us to not only love our neighbor, but God wants us to seek his kingdom. We prayed it earlier today, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God wants his kingdom to be revealed in my life, to be illuminated through my life. He wants me to operate, act, and make choices based upon the fact, first of all, I am a kingdom person. What choice do I make as a kingdom person? Our society tells us, do what you want to do. Make the choices you want to make. It's your life. It's your body. It's your choice. You do whatever you want to do. But Jesus turns around and says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. My decisions, my choices should be built upon the fact that I am not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven. I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. I can't tell you how many bad choices I've made, like buying cars that I didn't need, making decisions, I want that. I deserve that. I've worked hard for my money. I should have that. Make a decision without praying about it. God, what would you have me to do? What would you want me to do about this? What's the choice you would want me to make? God, I've got this extra money and I can buy me something that I want. But Lord, is there anything you'd like to do with this money? Maybe is there some need that I could meet? Maybe there's some way I could bless someone else? Is there something you want me to do with this money? Sherry and I, one of the biggest areas that we have sometimes of disagreeing, and they're very few, but it's in giving. In giving. Sherry is just like, give it all away. And I'm not like that. So we were at a conference, and I knew they were going to take an offering, and I'd stuck a check in my billfold, and I told her, I said, they're going to take an offering, and I brought a check. And I made a mistake right then. I should have said, let's talk about how much we're going to give. And we're in the service, and all of a sudden they're taking the offering plate's coming, and I'm writing the check, and I look at her, and I'm thinking one figure, and I look at her, and I say, how much do you want to give? And she told me a figure, and I went, what? Have you looked in the checkbook lately? And I couldn't argue with her. Here's the guy coming with the offering plate. And I looked at her again, I said, are you sure? And now she's doubled it. She gave me one hand sign, and now she's double the hand sign. And it's like, do you want to give this? Or it's like, it's double if you don't go ahead and write the check. And I'm like writing the check, and I'm not looking to her anymore. Seek you first the kingdom of God. What would God want you to do in that choice? What is God's influence on the decisions that you make every day? Do we even take God in consideration? Because we think, it's my money. I'll do what I want to do with it. I've worked hard for this. I deserve this. I should have this. And we push God, and it's not just about money, but we push God to the side in the decisions that we make. And yet Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. And the fifth thing that God wants us to do is to be obedient. John 14:21, Jesus says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Oh boy, did he make that difficult. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. So when we talk about general choices that God wants us to make, well, the first one is he wants us to receive and believe in him. And the second one is he wants us to love God. He wants us to love others. He wants us to seek the kingdom of God. He wants us to be obedient. And those, you know, we could close the sermon right now, and of course you know I'm not going to, but we could close the sermon right now, and you could walk out and say, you know what, everyone he went by, I could check it off. Praise God. I believe and I've received Jesus. I love God. I love my neighbor. I seek first the kingdom of God. I'm obedient. Check, 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 check. Boom. Amen. Let's go. But what if God wants more? What if Jesus wants more? I find it very interesting in this conversation that we will be seeing, God willing, over the next few weeks, that Jesus has with this woman, that he does not begin by asking her, if you died today and stood before God, why would he let you into heaven? That's not how he began the conversation. He didn't say to her, are you a sinner? He didn't say to her, how often do you go to church? He didn't ask her, have you been christened? Have you gone through confirmation? Have you been baptized? Have you joined the church? None of those questions. He did not ask her any of those questions. In fact, the version we read this morning, the New Revised Standard Version, makes it that Jesus is making a request. Give me a drink. But a lot of versions put it as a question where Jesus is asking her, please give me a drink. Would you give me a drink? So today I want to narrow our conversation. I wanted to get it more narrow than have you received him? Do you love God? Do you love others? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? And are you obedient? I want to bring it closer to that. I want to turn your attention to the 139th Psalm, the 23rd and 24th verses, where David makes this request. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So what I'd like to ask you today is this. What if Jesus, in the morning you get up, you sit down at the table, or you're sitting in your favorite chair, and you have a cup of coffee, and suddenly Jesus is sitting right beside you at the table, or he's sitting on the sofa right by your recliner, or he's sitting in the chair right across from you, and you say, "Jesus, what are you doing here?" And he says, "You have something I want. You have something I want." You know, we would start thinking, well, Jesus, you have my heart. I've accepted you as my Savior. I go to church. What do you want? What do you want from me? And what if Jesus were to say, "I want your temper. I want your lack of patience. I want your lust. I want your pornography habit. I want that bad attitude you have. I want your profanity. I want what you're watching on the computer. I want the way you talk to your wife. I want the way you treat your children. I want the way you try to control people. I want the way you try to control situations. I want your anger. I want," and he names that thing that you don't think he knows, because so far you've kept it from everybody else. "I want that." Jesus, he's sitting down in this relaxed mode when this woman walks up to him. And he doesn't ask her what she wants. He tells her what he wants. We're always in prayer telling God what we want. But today, maybe Jesus is asking, is saying to you, "This is what I want." Jesus, what do you want? What do you want? And so I'm going to ask Ben and Russ if they'd come right now. Each of you are going to get a little piece of paper. And here's what I want you to do. Pass them out, gentlemen. What I'd like for you to do, we're going to take just a moment, and we're not going to be talking to anybody. This is you and Jesus talking. I'd like for you to take out a pen. I don't want you to write your name on this. I don't want you to put initials on it. I don't want you to do anything that anybody would know who this is. And what I'd like for you to do is take just a moment just listening to Jesus. And if he says to you, "This is what I want from you," I want you to write it down. I want you to fold the piece of paper. I want you to come and lay it on this altar. Nobody's going to read them. Nobody's going to check for handwriting. This is between you and God, but this is your way of saying, "By faith, Jesus, I give you my..." So let's do that. Yes. Write as many as you want. We have plenty of paper. Thank you. Let's join together in prayer. We have heard your voice, Lord. And we have taken a step of faith. We have said, Lord, I release to you. You see everything that is written on these slips of paper, Father. This was an intimate transaction between us and you. And so, Father, today, as we stand on holy ground, we speak freedom, healing, wholeness. Oh, we speak the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord, today, this is a red letter day. We will be able to say, as long as we live, on January 28th, Sunday morning, 2024, at Pisgah Methodist Church, I heard Jesus say, give me this. And I said, Lord, it is yours. Oh, how we thank you. Lord, we take up an offering every Sunday and we give to you that which is we consider to be good and honorable and pleasing. And now, Lord, we bring you a second offering of that which you have said to us, I want that. So receive these, Lord, as our offering to you, birth out of our desire to be obedient and to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ben. Right back in that closet, right over to my left, is a garbage can. Would you get it for me, please? Bring it here.